Hi, everyone, and welcome to On the Box, your weekly dose of TV goodness brought to you by the Geek Show Podcast Network. Yes, and I am Rob. I will be here talking about all things TV along with the two Andrews.
Yes,
how are you guys?
Hello.
How are you doing, guys?
I'm quite good, I think.
You sound out of breath.
I'm a bit tired.
You sound out of breath for someone who's quite good. Have you been doing some kind of weird exercising in your secret basement?
My secret basement.
Yes.
If I've got a secret basement, it's a secret to me, so that's really secret.
Yes, yes.
Now that's confused me. That's combobulated me.
That's combobulated you. He's got it right this time. No, it's discombobulated you.
Oh, it's all falling apart within the opening minutes of the show.
We'll get him to use discombobulated correctly at some point.
No, we won't.
No. Anyway, yes. So you're out of breath from being combobulated in your secret basement. How about you?
Well, I was deeply distressed, but luckily other Rob has returned the iron brew to the table now. So now everything is hunky-dory.
Everything is right with the world. Iron brew fixes everything. Right, okay.
Passing that squeak on the table.
Yes. Right, we're going to get into things. So starting us off, Andrew, what's been happening in the world of TV news?
Well, Sky have released a mysterious teaser. Basically, the advert they've aired is just kind of a timeline of all significant dates in television. So we've got when the television was first invented, when we first got colour TV, when Sky became a thing, obviously. And then it just goes up to the present day and then says, set your TV free, Wednesday, 18th of November, 2015.
Have Sky invented holodecks?
No. Obviously, they have finally opened a TV ranch where the TVs can go and frolic. And run free amongst the flowers as they
does
were born
it,
to
does
do.
Does this mean I can get a free-range TV?
Yes, you can.
That's weirdly more expensive than a normal TV.
No, it's just, a Sky executive in dungarees with a straw hat just singing home on the range.
Holding an aerial above your telly.
Yeah, you won't be able to buy TVs anymore at any electronics store. You'll have to go to a Sky ranch.
Yes, exactly. To fend off TV poachers as well.
TV wranglers.
Yes.
TV wranglers. You have to learn how to ride a horse and herd those TVs.
So yeah, Sky.
I just went into a really obscure.
I was about to go into a Fox Stars reference there. Anyway, yes.
So yeah, we have no idea what they're actually trying to do.
Have they given any kind of hints as to what this was all about?
No, literally nothing. Just that one teaser.
I'm used to Sky trying to build up the publicity and raise the profile of various things, but this seems a bit too obscure.
Yeah, it seems weird that they've gone for such a mystery thing. I mean, unless maybe they're making Sky Atlantic free for all of the subscriptions. Maybe Sky. Maybe you want to give me Game of Thrones so that I don't have to watch it on terrible TV quality online. Maybe.
Is that an actual website? Terrible TV quality online? I'm going to watch my shows on terrible TV quality online.
No, you're going to see
if they get a lot of competition from www.grainyfootage.com. And of course, everyone's favorite at awfulsoundsyncing.net.
Oh, is that the one where everything looks like a 1970s kung fu movie?
Yes.
Yeah, I've been on that one. It was quite fun.
But yeah, this is how I watch my Game of Thrones, and I'm sick of it. I want it in nice, big, shiny quality on my big TV.
You do have a thing called Now TV now, where you pay $5 for a month and you get access to
Paying money.
Is that like a rival to Now TV? So it's Now TV now?
Now TV.
See,
Now TV. Is that where they tell you off for watching stuff?
How Now TV?
See, I can't wait till they get their own channel, and then of course comes Now TV Plus One.
Yes. No, How Now TV is where all the programs are grammatically correct.
No, that's on Now TV tomorrow.
They can see the future.
It's like when they go coming up on yesterday. On yesterday, tomorrow.
No, the best one is Living, because they say, coming up on Living.
So I really hope they get, the rights to The Walking Dead or something.
No. Coming up on Living. More death in Casualty.
Actually, we joke, but I think Sky Living were actually the channel that had the rights to Hannibal.
No! Oh.
I love irony.
Yes, it's good. It makes you look nice and neat.
So, yeah, set TV free. Any thoughts on what it actually could be?
I don't know. Is Sky going commando?
Yeah, that's... I think that's the only logical conclusion we can come to.
We'll know for certain if they have a picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger from the 1980s.
Because if it breathes, we can kill it.
Yes. We'll know Sky are going commando if they've got that.
Set TV free does sound like something that put like what they would put on Now TV, like an internet type of on demand.
Yeah,
thing,
I mean, but... I think it's probably something to do with subscriptions or lack thereof, maybe.
Hopefully something that is straightforward and cheap that people will want to...
Possibly. But, I mean, have they advertised it on any other channels or just Sky Atlantic?
Well, no, it hasn't been on Sky Atlantic. I was just saying, sorry, I hope that it's...
So it's just across Sky they've been advertising this?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've pretty much just put it out online. Because like, they have a website which is just that teaser.
Okay.
So it seems like it's going to be some sort of big announcement.
And when was that announcement again?
I think it just came out in the past few days.
So November the 18th.
Yeah, November the 18th is like when it's actually...
Well, so something,
somebody will come out and explain this probably in the next week or so.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Because they can only run a campaign like this for so long before people start getting bored and go elsewhere.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll have to wait and see how this shakes out.
Yes.
Which is exactly what Stephanie Meyer said before writing her latest Twilight book.
I knew you were going down some road, but I wasn't sure which one it was. I wasn't sure if it was the
I Weiwei.
Or the Lego Brick Road.
It's funny because we're making references to the show that Andy wasn't on.
I know.
It's just, he looks so confused right now.
Look at her face.
What have I missed?
There was writing involved. There was wordage. Yes. Anyway, we will watch this story with mild interest.
It's like half a raised eyebrow.
Yes.
Unless it's really good and then we'll talk about it some more.
I'm not sure. How can you have half a raised eyebrow? Is it like half an eyebrow that's raised?
Yeah, I'm sure like you need to slice one of your eyebrows in half.
Or is it, how do you half raise an eyebrow? I'm not sure.
I don't know, like maybe like a raised...
I don't know how you could raise a half
eyebrow. Oh, it's painful, I don't like it.
Sorry, what was that?
You could raise a half eyebrow.
Yeah, you'd have to shave half it. But I mean, I've seen the sentence, you know, his eyebrows were half raised. I'm like, how can you half raise an eyebrow? It's either raised or not. It's like digging half a hole.
Yeah, that's just a smaller hole.
Or having a half sandwich, it's just a small sandwich. Or is it like half a sandwich where you just put the filling on top of one piece of bread and you just eat it like a canapé?
Well, no, I guess like, if you make a full sandwich and then slice it in half, then you've got half a sandwich.
Yeah, no, it's still a sandwich.
Half a sandwich is a six-inch sandwich, isn't it?
Well, no, just the problem is, it's basically, the question is, if you slice a sandwich in half, is it half a sandwich or two sandwiches?
It's two sandwiches.
But why? No, it's half a sandwich.
It's half a sandwich because you're paying for the sandwich.
No, you know, if you make a sandwich at home...
They have a very popular outlet near here. Instead of, because we can't say her name, let's call it like Subwangle.
Subwangle. There's our episode title. Let's call it Subwangle.
We could have ended that in any way. Like, the entirety of every single possible combination of letters was open to you, and you chose Wangle.
So you buy your 6 inches from Subwangle, do you? I think Andy's giving himself a headache now. Oh, remind me never to get mayonnaise on my sandwiches from there.
Just don't ask about the special sauce.
No. Would you like your Subwangle toasted? No wonder they keep saying eat fresh.
Would you like to go large?
Well, this isn't fair because now I can't see and have to read a story out.
That's not our fault. You said somewhere go.
Exactly. Well, this story's over. Over to Andy for our next one.
Yes. Next story, shall we?
Yes.
Yeah. This is Buffy's Juliet Landau and Robson Josh Whedon and Tim Burton for what is a definitive vampire genre documentary.
Yeah, I heard about this one. This is an interesting one.
Yeah, I think basically Juliet Landau, who was Drusilla, the vampire in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, she wants to make basically, well, as it says, the definitive vampire documentary.
I mean, it says that she's already basically interviewed quite a lot of experts.
Yeah, it's crazy, because like, as you said, Joss Whedon, Tim Burton, I think we've got Gary Oldman as well, and Anne Rice and Charlene Harris, who wrote kind of the Interview with the Vampire books and the True Blood books. And now
she was in Dark Shadows as well.
Was she?
Mm. In Vampire, Dark Shadows alongside Johnny Depp. That was the comedy one, wasn't it?
Yeah. Which I guess that's probably how she got to Tim Burton.
Was she the blonde-haired, kind of one-time love interest type person in Dark Shadows? You know the one that had been around for a while and was trying to ruin Johnny Depp's ancestors?
No, that was Eva Green, wasn't it?
Was it Eva Green?
Yeah, for sure.
So which one was she then? Because I watched Dark Shadows, I just don't remember it that well.
Yeah, she might have been in just like a smallish role.
But it sounds something, like this documentary, it just sounds something different. It's something that you'd see on and you'd think, I'll watch that.
Yeah,
I mean, it doesn't give it, I don't think it gives a channel because it's through Kickstarter, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's through Indiegogo, which is like Kickstarter, but not Kickstarter.
So it's just basically vampires on TV and in cinema, is it?
Well, and books as well. Since
and books as well. In general. Well,
God, no, because then Twilight will get included.
Yeah, but that's not. We don't catch class that as literature, Rob.
We don't class them as vampires
class
either.
Class that as stuff you'd buy if you have a pound and you ran out of toilet roll.
No, but if you had a pound and you ran out of toilet roll, you just go out and buy more toilet roll.
No, because if you pay a pound for toilet roll,
you can get some pretty good toilet roll.
Oh, I could get like a nice big pack of toilet roll.
Of toilet roll that dissolves.
No, it's pretty good. the look of shock on your face.
You get the cheap toilet roll dissolves as you use it.
No.
And you end up using there it is and a then specific, you find out you've only there, got your
Are we really going to have this argument?
There is a specific brand which you can buy for a pound for like four rolls, and it's very, very good. Better than
supposed to use brand names.
Better than puppies. And kittens.
Anyway.
What? I'm avoiding brand names.
Yep, that's...
It's a look of sheer disappointment on Andrew's face. How do we get here, he's saying.
Moving on. Vampires.
Yes. So vampires, yes.
I'm going to need a moment.
So vampires. So
vampires!
What do you guys think? Is it worth doing a documentary about vampires in media in general?
I mean, I think so.
It sounds interesting.
But the thing is, the thing that kind of gets me a little bit is, has there been any mention of video games?
Well, no, but I think that could pretty much be a documentary in and of itself.
What, vampires in video games?
Yeah, probably.
Well, I mean, aside from the Kane stuff from
Legacy
of Kane.
I don't think there's
that
many.
Blood Omen, Legacy of Kane.
Vampire Hunter. Was it D?
Vampire Hunter D is a manga character, anime character. Mm. And it's basically Dracula.
Mm.
But in video games, you've got Blood Rain. You've got Kane from Legacy of Kane and All Laws. You've got Vincent from Final Fantasy VII. And you've got a few others. And the fact that you can, in certain games like Oblivion,
you actually
like
did it.
What?
You started trying to list vampires in video games and missed out Castlevania.
I haven't got to Castlevania yet.
I haven't even got to Castlevania.
Castlevania?
This isn't a chronological list.
I wasn't making a chronological list.
Yeah, but Castlevania is what you start with because it's the big vampire game.
And I forgot it.
Yes.
I know.
That was my point.
I know. It was shameful. I was trying to admit that, trying to avoid admitting that I forgot it, but I did.
No, you have to admit it. You have to apologize on air to everyone for forgetting Castlevania.
I apologize for forgetting Castlevania, even though I own most of the games in the franchise.
Only most?
Yeah. There's one that's very, very hard to get hold of. Because no one wants to get rid of it.
Is it the Castlevania Pachinko Machine?
No, it's Symphony of the Night.
That's like the one that's less good than the Pachinko Machine, isn't it?
No, it's the one that's more good than the Pachinko Machine.
Well, that's pretty much all of them, though, isn't it?
This one's better than pretty much all of them.
Yeah, I know. Symphony of the Night is like the famously amazing one.
Yep. I want it. Anyway, yes. Video games, though. There's a whole swathe of vampires in video games. And I'm just kind of, yeah, if you're going to talk about them in media, you can't really ignore video games, can you?
It doesn't look like, though, with the interviews that they seem to have in mind, that they are.
Yeah, I mean, this seems... Well, actually, no, I think about it, because like, both Interview with a Vampire and the Trooper series have been filmed. So I'd assume this probably focuses just on, like, film and TV.
I would have assumed it would just focus on film and TV.
I think that's... Because, like, obviously, like you said, obviously, vampires and video games are big... But I think there comes a point where you have to focus.
Yeah.
Metal Gear
Otherwise, this is
going to
be like a
example.
5-hour long film.
Sorry?
Metal Gear Solid 2 as well, for example.
Well, this is my point, because I mean, you mentioned books, and I was just a bit worried, you know, are they being a bit too broad? Are they covering video games as well? Because with her being a character from Buffy, I think it'd be better for them to focus on film and TV.
I mean, it doesn't say like how long this documentary is going to be, so it's only going to be about
anything
an hour.
Longer than an hour and a half, and it's not worth it. It'd be just too long. An hour and a half, I'd say, is the maximum length of time for any kind of documentary. An hour is usually the standard, though.
Mm. Well, it's called A Place Among the Undead. Anyway, that's the title, so I think we should keep a lookout for it.
Do you know what bugs me a little bit is the whole stalker thing? Carrying on and everybody going, oh, vampires, they're undead. I'm like, do they have to be?
Technically all they need is like the desire to suck blood.
It's currently on there, $13,624 waste by 186 people, and it's been on for 3 days.
Yeah,
got 27 days left, and the target is 300,000.
Do you think they'll do it?
If they do, no. Just. It's not broad enough.
I think it's a very narrow thing to do.
I think if it was funded by a TV channel or...
Yeah, but so I think...
Even a grant or something.
It depends if like people get... Because I mean, Joss Whedon could easily just like come out on Twitter and say, hey, she's doing this thing, give her all your money.
Ah, Willem Dafoe's in it as well.
Descend from the heavens.
Willem Dafoe's in it as well.
Yeah, but he's everywhere.
Mm.
Yes, and I think... Actually, yeah, didn't I say just on Wednesday that Willem Dafoe is actually a creature of the night?
Yes, you did.
And this proves it.
Yes. So, yeah, vampire documentary. Be interesting to see whether they get it off the ground. And as you said, all they'd need is Joss Whedon going on Twitter saying, give some money to this project, I'm going to be in it.
Yeah, and...
It's only 3 years.
It would get so much.
Mm. That kind of killed that conversation, didn't it? Okay, right.
Well, now we have to sit around and wait and see if that conversation rises back from the grave.
Right, okay, moving on. I'm heading down the road of sequels with, what is her name?
Shonda Rhimes, I think.
Shonda Rhimes. Is she related to Busta Rhymes?
That is the question.
Shonda Rhimes, Betsy Beers, and scribe Heather Mitchell have teamed up to do a series adaptation of Still Starcrossed, which is based on the 2013 book of the same name, which is basically a sequel to Romeo and Juliet. Now,
did Romeo and Juliet come back to life as vampires?
I was going to say, I don't want to spoil any, but the ending of that...
They die. Both of them die.
Oh my God, guys, I was only halfway through it. But I joke, we all know. It's like one of the most famous films of the 1990s.
Yes.
Well, making that.
You said it like that on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah,
what light from yonder window breaks? It is Juliet, and she's left the light on.
Is this going to be in modern times? Where, like,
I must speaketh to her about the electricity bill.
Let's FaceTime. Yeah. That'd make it a lot of...
Seriously, though. A sequel to Romeo and Juliet, of all the stories you could choose. Now,
it was always a sequel to Titanic.
Don't even...
called Titanic 2.
Don't even go there. Don't even go there. See, when I think Titanic 2, I think it's like a face-off between two really, really large overweight wrestlers.
Titanic 2, this time the boat sinks you.
So, yes, Heather Mitchell, who's worked on Scandal and Grey's Anatomy, is going to serve as writer and executive producer on this project from ABC Studios. And it's in development with Shonda Rhimes and Betsy Beers, who are going to be serving as non-writing producers on the broadcast, which is their take on the young adult novel by Melinda Taub. And, yeah, apparently the story follows what happened to the Capulets and, I've forgotten the other family.
Montagues.
The Montagues. The Capulets and the Montagues after the death of Romeo and Juliet.
It's a young adult novel.
Yes.
But isn't the whole point of Romeo and Juliet that all the young adults in it are dead by the end?
Yes, a plague on both your houses.
So it's a young adult novel about a group of old people.
Yes.
And they're carrying over the Shakespeare.
Who were in mourning because Romeo and Juliet killed themselves because they were star-crossed lovers. But the thing
which
is,
I'm sure is a thing many teenage girls can get to grips with.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Not sure how that works.
No, I mean, it doesn't. That's kind of the point. Well, I mean, why is it a young adult novel? Like, it doesn't seem like a story. Because typically young adults want to read about young adults.
Well, let's find out more about Still Star-Crossed, yeah? This is the synopsis from Goodreads, right? Romeo and Juliet are gone. Will love live on? Despite the glooming peace that settled on Verona after the recent tragedy, Montagues and Capulets are brawling in the streets, faced with more bloody battles. Prince Aeschylus concludes that the only way to truly marry the fortunes of these two families is to literally marry them together. Everyone is sceptical, but none more so than the pair selected, for the most eligible Montague bachelor is Benvolio, Romeo's best friend, still anguished by the loss of his companions, and the chosen Capulet maid is Juliet's older cousin Rosaline, the girl Romeo first loved and whose refusal of Romeo's affection paved the way for bloodshed. Contrary to their late cousins, there's no love lost between Benvolio and Rosaline, yet they forge a bond to end the renewed feud, not only to escape their forced betrothal, but to save their lives and the city of Verona itself.
My God, that
sounds
horrendous.
If it's only a set a little bit after, do they use the same language? Or is it all just modernised?
If,
she's
going to use modernised language.
But in it's like 2 weeks after the tragedy, and they've just changed language.
No. All I'm saying is that this is a young adult novel. Mm. They won't put in these and thous and for as much as. They will just do it as normal English, I'm assuming.
I think there's probably a loose definition of English.
But yes, it's a young adult, and according to this... This is the best bit about this.
I'm excited now.
According to this, readers who read Still Star-Crossed also enjoyed Lady Macbeth's daughter. That sounds wrong the way I just said it. The Queen's Lady, part of the Lacey Chronicles. Eighth, Romeo's ex, Rosalind's story. The Caged Graves.
Oh, God. Is it,
please say these are self-published.
Is this like an entire genre of just young adult novels based on Shakespeare plays?
Going Over. The Spirit Keeper, a novel. Belle Epoque. Cherry Money Baby. Palace of Spies, number one. Or Juliet. Maid of Secrets, or Maids of Honor, number one. Kissing Shakespeare. Prince of Shadows, which is a thrilling retelling of the star-crossed tale of Romeo and Juliet. Belladonna.
How many times have to retell?
Which is in Renaissance Italy. Of Beast and Beauty.
Oh.
Escape from Verona.
Oh, please say that's Romeo and Juliet with Snake Plissken in it.
No, it's Juliet's long lost diary of monsters and madness, which is a romantic hysterical retelling of classic gothic horror featuring Edgar Allan Poe and his character Annabel Lee. So, sorry.
Wow.
I like checking the reviews of those types of books because you always get one that goes, this is absolutely terrible, not what I was expecting. Like,
I think we're just going to have to cancel Literary Loitering, Rob. clearly books have failed us.
I just... sorry.
What's this on the most box these, we were doing?
Most of these reviews...
I know, but this is just...
It's just kind of, yeah, most of these reviews are giving it 4 stars. And I'm just wondering, have you actually read Romeo and Juliet?
Oh, no, because like it is all the 14-year-old goes, I like this character because he was hunky. That's my 14-year-old girl voice.
So, now we know what teenagers are reading. Still
you hope it's teenagers.
Have you been reading it in your secret basement? Do you know what the worst thing about that was? When I said that, the look on Andy's face...
there was a very distinct lack of denial there.
And the look on his face was like one of horror, but it was the kind of horror that you get someone's...
Oh no, I've been found out.
Exactly. So, yes...
One rule about the secret basement is you don't talk about the secret basement.
No, you don't talk about what goes on in the secret basement. But we could speculate.
No, I can't make that joke. I was going to say that's what the gags are for.
Hey.
Oh, right. Okay, so, yes. Still star-crossed. We'll be heading to a TV channel near you at some point in the future, thanks to Shondaland.
Shondaland?
Yeah, Shonda Rhimes.
Ah.
I can't say her name without thinking of Busta Rhymes and Give Me Some More. I just got Busta Rhymes in my head going, Give Me Some More.
Hey.
I don't understand.
Nothing about that story makes sense, Rob.
I know. Moving on.
Yes. Something... makes more sense, is basically Rupert Grint, a.k.a. Ron Weasley, offered them Harry Potter films that the peoples like, is going to be in a new TV series that doesn't have a title yet. So basically in this he's going to be playing a guy called Rupert, who's obsessed with a comic called Imperial City that was created by his father before he died. But he finds a mysterious comic book collector reveals the existence of another issue of the series, and in hunting it down, Rupert discovers that the world of Imperial City is real, and he is the only one who can save it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sounds different. When was the last time we saw Rupert Grint? Was it Harry Potter?
No.
No.
He did a TV thing after Harry Potter.
Yeah, what says his most recent project was Moonwalkers? Oh my god, with Ron Perlman. Was anything with Ron Perlman? Oh.
Really?
Yeah, well, we have to find it because Ron Perlman's in it and Ron Perlman's in it.
I was just kind of, Rupert Grint was in something with Ron Perlman. It's called Moonwalkers. Now, when you said Moonwalkers, I was immediately thinking Michael Jackson.
You know Rupert Grint was in that award-winning
film.
No,
what is he, Ron Perlman moonwalking?
I know.
just in the all-white suit.
Yes.
You know that Rupert Grint was in that award-winning classic, Thunderpants.
Yes, you know, yes he was.
Oh my god.
British cinema at its best then.
Yeah, that was a film that happened.
Yes. You do realise I've just got the Ron Perlman version of Smooth Criminal going on in my head right now.
You too?
Yes. Yes. Just Ron Perlman in the white hat, you know, doing the whole leaning into the wind thing. Yeah, anyway, enough with the Ron Perlman love. So, Rupert Grint.
But yeah, anyway, this series that doesn't have a title yet, I would assume it would probably be called, like, Imperial City or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's an interesting idea. I know it reminds me of something, but I can't remember what it is.
Okay.
Like, I'm sure there's, like, a video game or film or something about a guy, like, thinks a thing is fictional, but finds out the fictional thing is actually real.
Well, there's quite a lot.
There is quite a lot like that, but thing is, I like the fact that they're going down this whole route of... I mean, it's a video game, isn't it, that he starts off with?
No, comic book
that he starts off with. I knew it was some kind of geek media. Yeah. It's a comic book he starts off with, finds out it's real. I like the fact that they're going down this route of kind of fantasy reality crossing the boundaries of each other and appearing in like media as a real thing, kind of like a signpost pointing the way. I just wish they'd do that with more things instead of just taking it as read that, oh, look, it must be, you know, you must be Superman because you're wearing red underpants and blue tights. I like the fact that they're trying to use the comic book as just kind of a medium for something else. Yeah. It's not an actual comic book TV series. It's just a device. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's not based on a comic book. It's just a thing that uses a comic book as a plot point.
They made a comic book up, in a sense, do you mean?
Well, basically, they're just using the comic book as kind of a signpost. Like, here you go. If you want to enter this magical country, then read this comic book.
Oh my God, I know what I'm thinking of.
What?
Neverending Story.
Yes.
Silly Andrew. How could you not immediately remember that? Oh God, Art Axe. Oh, no, I'm sad.
Yeah, he loses Art Axe, but he gets Falco.
But Art Axe dies because he's too sad.
I know.
It's like traumatizing.
I know.
Gonna have a cry now.
But he gets Falco.
But Art Axe dies.
But he gets Falco.
But Art Axe dies.
But comes back at the end.
Oh, yeah, he does come back at the end.
And he still gets Falco. And he manages to get his own back on the bullies, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Everything. God, I want to watch Neverending Story again now.
Ah, yes. So, yeah. Art Axe dies, but then comes back. We get Falco. Everything's happy. Rupert Grint, do that story. Ron Perlman as Falco. That'd be amazing. Just a giant dragon with Ron Perlman's head. Going, I'm a lock dragon. Scratch me behind the ears.
Actually, not even that. Just Ron Perlman without any form of prosthetics or makeup on. Because just, he is an amazing actor and can play a dragon without any assistance.
A taunt. Taunt. Wrong image. Wrong image. No, get off my head. No. You're an evil man. You're an evil, evil man. Oh, you don't want to know, Andy. I know you got that look of curiosity, but this is far worse than anything in your secret basement. Anyway, let's put it this way. There was a wizard staff in that image. Anyway.
Should we leave it there?
Yeah, leaving Rod Perlman's wizard staff to one side.
Just brush it away.
Just brush it away. Moving on. Any more news?
No, I think we can have safely move on to what we've been watching.
Right, so, guys, what have you been watching?
Wow.
Oh, good boy.
How do you follow that up?
But it's okay, I'll start. Because I've actually been watching a bunch of stuff, many of which were good things that I wanted to talk about today. But you know what? I'm not going to talk about those things, because last night I watched something else. My God, guys, they did it. They actually did it.
Did what?
They made Sexy Mr. Hyde.
What? Hang on, we talked about this several months ago.
Yeah, when we were joking about, I think it was just something to do with Twilight, and basically the joke was, what? Like horror monster.
We actually had the news article because they were talking about Jekyll and Hyde.
Oh,
TV
that's
series.
Right. Yes. And that's where Sexy Mr. Hyde came from.
And they actually did it, did they?
They did. They made a Sexy Mr. Hyde. And my God, it was horrible. It's like, the problem is, it wasn't a bad show. It's just that they took a really good show. And then for some inexplicable reason decided it needed to be on at 6:30 in the evening. So, like, you've basically got this concept which, at the very least, is like a 15-worthy concept. because it's a guy. Basically, it's Dr. Jekyll's grandson, who's like somehow also inherited the ability to turn into Mr. Hyde. It's like, it's basically this guy has to struggle with the fact that every time he gets a bit angry, he transforms into a murderous psychopath.
Okay.
It's like, that's not 6:30 in the afternoon material. And so, like, they have to kind of try and dance around things by, like, editing out any of the violence. And it's just, I don't understand it. Just explain to me, Rob, why is this on at 6:30 in the afternoon?
I don't understand. You don't.
It might be supposed to be like a young adult fiction. No, it was in book form.
I think watching it, it kind of seemed like it was meant to be going up against Doctor Who. But that's such a weird thing to choose. And it's annoying because, like, they actually have some really interesting ideas in it as well. Like, basically, they have MIO, which stands for, like, Military Intelligence Other, where, like, the supernatural branch of British intelligence. Basically, like, the BPRD from Hellboy, but British. Like, that's a neat idea, because, like, they have operatives, and they're called Invisible Men. Like, they have suits and bowler hats and gas masks on, and they look really cool. It's like, they're the kind of thing I would love to see, like, a whole TV series of.
Yeah.
But obviously, again, it's 6:30 in the afternoon, so they're not allowed to just go gunning down all the monsters with shotguns.
Okay.
Which apparently they do.
Hmm.
Like, basically, there's this cool thing. Like, they have a new guy who's just joined them.
Yeah.
And he's kind of, you know, like, oh, but this can't be real because everyone knows monsters aren't real. And then basically the guy in charge, who's played by Richard E. Grant, he's basically done, yeah, of course they're not real because we've killed them all.
I love Richard E. Grant.
He's
amazing.
He is like the best part of that because he hams it the hell up and it's amazing.
He does it with everything and he does it on purpose because at the end of the day he goes, screw it, I'm Richard E. Grant. That's what I do.
Yeah, I'm Richard E. Grant and what I mean is blatantly ridiculous, so yep. Let's just go for it.
Yep. I think it says it on his business card, have ham, will travel.
Pretty much. But yeah, the rest of it, it's very ITV mid-afternoon.
Oh, God. Seriously,
it's so...
When you say ITV mid-afternoon, are you talking like Jeremy Carr, Loose Women, or ITV kind of drama?
ITV kind of drama.
Oh, okay, right. Because like, if it was Jeremy Carr or Loose Women like ITV afternoon, that'd be a very different show.
You know Miss Marple and Poirot, before like they actually got proper famous people on it?
Okay, yes. Yes.
It's basically that level of
seriously?
Horrendous overacting.
God.
It's so not good. I think the worst part is like when he actually turns into Mr. Hyde. And good God. Like, I think at one point he actually utters lines like, oh, I spent my whole life trying to be nice and look where it's got me. Right here in this rat hole of a bar. It's just, I actually cringed.
Yes. I'm not surprised.
Oh, and do you want to know the best part?
What?
Basically, because he has to go back to England, because he was in India, but he goes back to England.
Yeah.
To basically work out his grandfather's estate. And basically he finds out that his grandfather's lawyer had been collecting a case file on Dr. Jekyll. And basically, the cover of the case file says, the case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. But then with like a little arrowy bit in between that and case, with strange written in. Get it, Rob, because that's what the original name of the book is. It's really funny. No.
Yeah, I know.
I face-palmed. I actually physically face-palmed there in my house. Yeah.
I'm not sure what to say to this except,
Is the appropriate sentiment for the show.
Yeah. Seriously. It's a great concept on paper.
Yeah.
But I just feel like the English TV channels keep doing the same thing over and over again. They take something that has a really good idea and just basically they remove all the good parts from it. See, the weird thing is you watch something that was great on paper but turned out to suck really bad. when you sat down to watch
it. Yes, I did.
Whereas I watched something that seemed awful on paper, but turned out to be really good.
Well, I think that's a good point to jump over to what you've been watching then.
I have been watching Detectorists.
Oh, the one about the metal detector.
Yes. I watched series one and I just loved first season.
Is that actually good?
It's hilarious. I will be completely honest. Mackenzie Crook is great, but it's Toby Jones who steals the show.
Oh, of course it is, because he's Toby Jones.
Exactly. It's so mental because it shouldn't work, but it does. Right, Detectorist is set in the fictional town of Danesbury, which I believe is in Hampshire somewhere. Mm. And it's basically about people who have a passion for metal detecting, of all things. This is why I said it shouldn't work on paper.
A passion for metal detecting.
Yeah, it shouldn't work on paper. Yeah, it doesn't work on paper. You look at it, you go, you want to do a comedy drama about people with metal detectors? Are you mad?
Are they training for a potential future Olympic sport?
No. They just like metal detecting. They like going out with metal detectors and going blip, 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 and walking around all day.
You know? Then found in a can or something. Well,
just doing it. They do it because they like it. And somebody sat down and said, we'll do a comedy drama about people who like metal detecting. It shouldn't work, but it really does. Because when they did the first season, they basically put in a lot of effort to find out more about metal detecting and kind of the jargon and the way they speak and the kind of gear and stuff like that, so they can get it as reasonably authentic as they could. And it worked because they just go off on one into their own little jargon-filled world and are like, this is the most fun I've had watching a BBC show for a long time. It was only, I think 6 episodes for the first season. And it was just such fun. And it's back. And it's just recapturing all the old magic again. Mackenzie Crook is really good in it, as I said. But Toby Jones really steals the show. The weird thing is, most of the action, most of the story isn't about the metal detecting, it's about their lives outside of metal detecting and how metal detecting is such a big passion for them that it has actually affected their normal lives and their relationships, things like that. Because it's one of those weird obsessions that normal people just kind of can't relate to. And in the first season, they tackle this as well. And it rears its head a little bit in the first episode of the new series. But it's, you know, there is a very real way that you can liken metal detecting to having like a porn addiction. it's weird how it works out.
Right.
But just follow me on this. It's the kind of thing that most people don't understand, right? If you're in a relationship, your partner will find it uncomfortable to talk about with other people because they won't understand it either. Your partner probably won't understand why you are so passionate about it.
And you spend a long time holding onto a stick.
You spend a long time at home sorting through equipment, possibly while you should be doing other things. And you might be, you know, sorting through the things that you found during the day. But then some, you know, you'll hear a footstep behind you, and you quickly cover it up. Do you see what I mean? Because you should be doing something else. Just all these little all these little ploys, all these little tricks.
Yes, I do see what you mean, and I'm inherently scared.
It's just all these little tricks that kind of take it down the route of being something that a completely innocent pastime, but somehow it takes on kind of sinister overtones, and it doesn't have those overtones at all. It's just a guy in a field with headphones and a metal detector going blip, 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 bing, 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 you know. And then there's the arguments about, you know, with other metal detectors about who's got which patch and who got there first, and it's so much fun. I love Detectorists. It's just, it's one of those very British but not British comedies. I've heard somebody say it had shades of Vicar of Dibley meets Last of the Summer Wine, and it kind of does have that, but it puts its own kind of satirical spin on a lot of things. And yeah, Mackenzie Crook really fits with it. But seriously, Toby Jones is just something else. He suits the character totally. He really suits the character. So yeah, I'm definitely recommending that one.
Sounds really different.
It is.
Yeah, what are we... This is just the massive grin blasted across your face while you talk about it. I'm actually really interested in watching it now.
It's one of those ones where, you know, if you've ever had a weird collecting obsession, right, just a weird hobby of any sort, you will get it totally. I don't know why I'm staring at you so intently. No. Let's look at Andy the same way.
Yeah, you just stare at Andy while I go home and kind of sort out my DVD collection.
And your comics. Anyway, yes, Andy.
Well, this recently, I haven't been watching anything new, but I've been watching the new series of one of my favourite comedy types on the telly. And that's Impractical Jokers.
So hang on, I thought you hadn't been watching anything new.
Anything new was in.
But it's the new series.
Oh,
new.
You mean anything that you haven't talked about on the show before?
Oh, right, okay, right.
Oh, it was just, your opinion is invalid.
I was really confused where that was going. I haven't been watching anything new, but I have been watching the new series.
But yeah, Impractical Jokers, I love it. Always have loved it since it started. Since the UK version was on for one season. But, it's just brilliant. I mean, this week they were talking about they had to try these fake books that they were sat in front of an obviously unwilling, like unknowing audience.
An unwilling audience.
They were, sort of. But they were told they had to vote on which one would be published. And
maybe if they did, they would finally be freed.
And one of them had Discovering My Body. He wasn't allowed, he just got the cover, and he had to, just didn't know what it was going to be. Like, they get uncovered and then they have to try, and the other two in the team set them up.
Okay.
So you have to explain that. And the other one got The Bible 2.
The Bible 2?
And that's another sequel.
And The Bible 2, is this like the New Testament of the New Testament?
Yeah, it was about, when Jesus, and he goes, I think that's his name, and one of them... put the antwerp in the back going, I'm actually a priest. Actually, so he knows his stuff. And then he's going, oh, I'm going to have to think this one through. But my God, no, it was hilarious. Like, they all having a party. And
even the priest?
Not on the show. I'm about what he's trying to say what the Bible too is.
Right.
Having a party. And then Jesus does it again, turns it into wine. It was just absolutely brilliant.
So it's kind of a one-trick pony, isn't he? Just turning water into wine. Yeah.
No, you can do it with the stuff. It's just he's also a raging alcoholic.
Yeah, I know. It's just I like the Family Guy version, you know, where he turns water into funk. Then they start dancing.
Put him with
the, I thought you were going to say, like, The Passion of the Christ 2.
It's like...
Is this the one with the giant robots?
No, it's like... One of the few bits of Family Guy I found really funny.
Where
they find the film reel for
yes.
And it's Jesus and Chris Tucker teaming up to fight crime.
I mean, these are brilliant. If you haven't, like, watched a full episode before, I truly recommend it. I mean, one is very simple where the friends will send them a text in Spanish and have to find somebody who can read Spanish to read them the text, which is quite hilarious. Or they have to try and get people to join this club. That is random.
You do realise there is a thing called Google Translate now.
Yeah, but it loses the fun of the game, doesn't it? And one of the forfeits was running down the beach, public beach. He is dressed up as a superhero called Captain Fatbelly.
Don't, because do you remember the League of Regrettable Superheroes?
Oh, yes, I saw on the banner for our football episode, Fat Man.
Yes, his superpower is that he is fat.
Like, I mean, I'm looking.
And don't forget Dr. Hormone.
Oh, yeah.
I just saw one here. This is one that hasn't aired over here yet, but there's one where one of his punishments, Murr, he's like the half bald one, has to dress in ridiculous outfits as a official ring card girl at a boxing match.
Do you know what this sounds like? Do you know what this sounds like, right?
Oh,
Impractical Jokers. To me, this is what it sounds like. It sounds like a cross between Jackass and Beatles About.
It is. It's just embarrassing your mates.
Yeah. I can see that.
The thing is, that would get old with me really quick.
But they do reinvent the games.
I know that, but I got bored of Jackass really quick. Mm. Basically, there's only so much I can take of watching people make fools of themselves before I start thinking, well, you know, haven't you had enough yet?
Mm.
Well, yeah, I think it's... So obviously, it's based around a very specific kind of humour.
Yeah, I mean,
and like,
I know
either
that...
people are going to find that
with the computer, with the files, with the Skype call.
Don't get me wrong. There's probably going to be certain sketches that I'll find hilarious. Mm. But for the most part, the thing is, as I'm watching stuff like that, because I've watched other things like that, and I keep remembering how much I hate Bam Margera. How much I just wanted to take a golf club and wrap it around his head, because he was annoying. He was kind of the Bez of the Jackass crew. He just stand there in the corner, just dancing away like that. No talent, nothing to contribute. Just stand there like that. Occasionally put him in a shopping trolley and hoy him down the street, but that was basically it.
In Practical Jokers Mondays at 9 till 10.
Go. Cool. Yeah.
Comedy Central.
Detectorists is better.
Although, while we're talking, I just remembered my favourite line from Jekyll and Hyde.
Oh.
Basically, Dr. Jekyll is so dangerous because his power comes from being a man within a man. Yeah. I had that exact same reaction.
Please tell me they said that with a straight face.
Yeah, completely straight faced.
I don't even know how to process that.
I did.
Oh, you saved that till the very end of the show, didn't you?
Not because I forgot about it until, like Andy mentioned, I think one of those fake books was Understanding My Body.
Oh. Right. Before we head down into weird territory again, we are unfortunately at the end of the show. So we are going to say goodbye to you there. If you want to get in touch with us, email us studio@thegeekshow.co.uk. You can find The Geek Show and On The Box on the interwebs. We have a Facebook page for The Geek Show and for On The Box as well. So come and find us wherever you want. We're also on Twitter, My Anime List, Mixcloud, and various other things. You can find all of our shows on Mixcloud. And yes, we are part of the Geek Show Podcast Network, and you can support us by buying one of our lovely t-shirts from the Geek Shop, which you can find on the Geek Show's Facebook page and on thegeekshow.co.uk. So, yes, thank you for listening. I have been Rob.
I've been Andrew.
And I've been really confused in this.
Yeah, but that's because at the moment you're not a man within a man. Just wait until he gets back to his secret basement, though. Then he'll fix that problem.
Well, this is exactly the same as like the joke from Arrested Development with Tobias Funke, the man inside me.
Right, okay. We'll see you all later. Take care and have fun.
Bye-bye.